12 months ago, a review of Indigenous training and employment recommended a radical, almost cashless welfare card be introduced to help stem chronic alcoholism in remote Aboriginal communities. Today, the town of Ceduna on South Australia's remote west coast will become the first community to sign up to a trial of the Healthy Welfare Card. Alan Tudge is the Parliamentary Secretary overseeing the trial, and he joins me now from Ceduna. Alan Tudge, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Michael.
So Ceduna has signed up to the trial. When will it start?
Well, we'll be signing up the Memorandum of Understanding this morning, and it will authorise the trial to begin from February of next year. I've been consulting with this community over the last 6 to 12 months, determining what the parameters of the trial are going to be, how it's going to look, what the product will look like, and we've worked very closely with the leaders here, and today we'll be announcing the trial will proceed.
And how much of the card will be cashless, and how much cash can they access?
Yeah, we've discussed this at length with the community leaders, and we've settled on the figure that 80% of all welfare payments will be placed onto this cashless debit card, and the remaining 20% will go into an ordinary cash account. Now, this means that most people will still have between about $60 and $150 of cash per week, depending on their family circumstances.
So pensioners and veterans will be exempt, I understand. The Mayor of Moree told this program a few weeks ago that she believed those who were quarantined from the trial could become targets for criminals looking to get hold of their cash.
Well, we're going to allow veterans and aged pensioners, and indeed some workers, to opt into the card should they choose to do so. And I believe that many people will, because certainly amongst some communities they might get targeted or humbugged for money if they're the only ones that have an access of money there. So we're going to provide that opportunity for people to give them that protection should they choose to have it.
So trials are planned in other small communities, aren't they? Is it really your intention to make every Australian on welfare subject to these restrictions, or is this, as some have suggested, targeting Indigenous people only?
No, this is not targeting Indigenous people, and even in the Ceduna region, about two-thirds of people covered will be Indigenous, the other third will be non-Indigenous. This is always supposed to be a trial which will cover high welfare communities where there are serious alcohol and drug problems. That's the
So how do you determine what's a high welfare community?
Well, in a community like Ceduna, unfortunately, they've got a hospitalisation rate from assault which is 68 times the national average, much of which is due to alcohol abuse. Last year, they had 4,500 admissions to the Sobering Up Centre from a small community of just 4,000 people. Now, I don't think anyone would suggest there aren't some significant issues here, which this card will hopefully address, won't eliminate altogether, but will certainly make a big dent into.
So how do you measure its success?
Well, we'll be having a full evaluation of the trial. We'll be assessing and tracking the data as we go along. Overall, the key objective is to reduce the harm caused by welfare-fueled alcohol, gambling and drug abuse. And we're hoping that those harm indicators will decline over time.
Okay, can we talk about Indigenous recognition and the anger felt clearly by some Indigenous leaders over the Prime Minister's rejection of their idea to achieve Indigenous consensus on the referendum question by instituting a round of sort of community consultations. Now, the Prime Minister said that jarred with the notion of finally substituting we for them and us. Does it?
Listen, what we were proposing is that instead of having an Indigenous-specific conferences first before the broader conferences involving everybody, that instead that they would occur in parallel so that each can inform the other. It's absolutely essential that we get Indigenous support for a constitutional recognition question. Without Indigenous support, it's almost pointless. But at the same time, we do need to bring across the entire community on this journey because, Michael, as you know, it is so difficult to get a referendum question up. Only 8 out of 44 referendum questions have ever been successful, the last one back in 1977.
Well, exactly. Isn't that the point, that everybody needs to work together on this? And it seems that the Labor Party and the Indigenous leadership all agree that that this idea of a convention, of a number of Indigenous conventions, is a good one, but the government seems to be the one that's on the out here.
Oh, no, we certainly support Indigenous people being able to get together and determine what they want, but we want that to occur in parallel with our engagement with the overall Australian community, because we have to get not only the support of the Indigenous people, but we must ensure that we've got the broad support of the Australian public. And if we don't have that, then we won't have a successful referendum.
But the Prime Minister said this proposal risked producing something like a log of claims, which he thought wasn't a good thing. Do you agree?
I think what he was concerned about is that if we had a proposal whereby Indigenous communities alone determined what they wanted first, independently, before we had the broader conventions, then they may come up with a question which the broader Australian public may not necessarily agree with. Now, each has to inform the other, in my view and in our view. So that's what we're proposing, in essence, a parallel process rather than one before the other.
Okay, just on another one of the issues of the day, it seems that every day there's a new story about MPs' entitlements. Now, it's emerged, as I'm sure you're aware, that Labor's Tony Burke took his family to Uluru for a holiday at the expense of taxpayers while he was working, he says. Have you ever done this?
I don't believe I have, Michael. I know that my wife has come up to Canberra a couple of times and typically flown economy class, but just in relation to Mr. Burke, it seems that the standards demanded by him of government MPs don't apply to himself. I mean, it's absolutely classic Labor hypocrisy when it comes to Mr. Burke, and given that he's had to refund, I think, 15 times now, trips which he's taken. And it's revealed today that he's even charged a taxpayer to go to a Robbie Williams concert.
It seems you're all auditing yourselves sort of furiously at the moment, though, doesn't it? Are you doing that?
I've been in Parliament, I think, for 4 or 5 years, and as I said, I believe that the only time that any of my family members have travelled with me is to a couple of times to Canberra, where my wife has come up with me.
Okay, Alan Tudge, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Michael.
And that's Alan Tudge there.